Well, if you were here last week, you might remember that Eddie Medrano spoke to us about being a fighter for God so that we could raise, R-A-Z-E, or demolish the kingdom of hell and take back what the devil has stolen. We saw a video where Rocky takes a tremendous beating and he loses a major fight in his life, and somehow his opponent had gotten into his mind, and Rocky could only see himself as getting killed in the ring. And he was sitting there, and he was saying, I can't stop him, you know, and he believed, you know, that he didn't have a chance. That's what was in his mind. That's what he had come to believe, that he didn't have a chance, and he may as well give up, and he wasn't even trying. He was just standing there getting beaten like a punching bag. But then later on, we saw another video where Rocky came back to fight his arch enemy again, and this time he had a different mindset. He believed differently, and this time he knew in his mind that nothing was going to stop him, and that he believed that he had the ability to win, and in fact he demolished his enemy in the ring. And each one of us, every one of us here, we're also in a fight. You know, something along those lines, but it's not a physical fight like Rocky was in, but we're in a spiritual battle, and our enemy is more powerful, in fact, than the enemy that Rocky fought. You may not think that you have any enemies, but the truth is that if you're a Christian, you do have an enemy. And he's out to do as much harm as he can, too. In fact, he would love to destroy you. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, "Be self-controlled and alert, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." Every one of us are dealing with the same thing. We talked about it, you know, it came up this morning and some of the things we were sharing and talking about how there's, you know, there's things that are always going on, and every one of us are dealing with this same enemy, not only the devil himself, but all the legions of demons that are out there. I mean, we deal with that stuff. And the name Satan, it actually means enemy or adversary. That's what he is. He's an enemy or the adversary of both God and man. He's our enemy. And, of course, he's not equal to God. Sometimes he wants us to think that, but he is in no way equal to God, even though he is God's adversary. Jesus was talking to a crowd once about driving out demons, and he quoted in the scripture in Luke 11:20, "But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." And I was thinking about that. If I drive out demons by the finger of God, Jesus was showing us what it takes for God to get rid of Satan. That's it. Not even a little finger, maybe. That's the difference between God and the devil. You know, to us, the devil's a big-time enemy. To God, he's a pipsqueak. He's nothing. God could flick him off his shirt, you know, just like a crumb of toast or, you know, something like that. Nothing to it. But the devil is a formidable foe. He is the chief of the, just thinking Brian likes to say, "Hey, chief," you know, a lot of times. Well, the devil, he's like the chief of the fallen spirits. And he's the enemy of all that is good. And one of his biggest deceptions is to get people to believe that he's just a fairy tale, that he really has no power, that he's not even real. But make no mistake, the devil is real. He's more real than any flesh and blood enemy that we will ever face. And I know sometimes, you know, when you're out in the world there, and you know, and you're talking to people, and they have no concept of Christianity, they have no understanding of the Bible, and you know, you almost find yourself, sometimes you might say something about the devil, and you can just feel them all thinking like, they're all thinking, "You're nuts. You know, the devil's not real. They don't believe in him." But the devil's real. So what we're going to do is look at this enemy that we face today and even actually probably over the next couple of weeks and see how we can better understand him, the devil. And so, because if we can understand him and understand his ways, we can defeat him. I know when football coaches, or probably just about any sport, but I know in particular, I've seen it where football coaches get together and they sit there and they watch these films, of the games that their opponents were playing in. And they watch them and they watch all the plays and they watch their strategies and their tactics and they try to figure out, like, what plays would they use against us? And because they know if they can understand their strategies, they're going to have a better chance in beating them. Imagine how easy it would be to beat the team if you got a copy of their playbook against you for that week. That'd be simple to beat them then. Well, God's Word offers us insights into the devil's tactics and an understanding that of his strategies that is just as valuable as if we had his playbook. So what we're going to do is look at the devil's character, the way he operates, the way he, deals with people, the way he thinks, his methods, and the tactics that he uses to achieve his goals. And we're going to see that Satan is alive and well and working as hard as ever right now, right here today, in your mind, in your emotions. He's working in your household. He's working in your workplace. He's working double time in your marriage, between you and your kids, between you and your friends. He's working anywhere and everywhere he can, always trying to do his dirty work. No place is immune. No place is sacred. He'll try to get to you in church. He doesn't care. He doesn't run when somebody sprinkles holy water. He's bold. He's like a lion. That's why it says our enemy, the devil, prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we have to be aware of his traps and his schemes. We have to get an understanding of how he works, how he functions. We need to be able to stand back. Sometimes that's what we have to do. We're in the middle of some kind of disaster, some kind of all this problem, these things that just keep coming and coming and coming. Sometimes we got to stand back, take a look and say, is there something more here that's going on than just the normal problem that I might be facing? Could there be some type of demonic activity going on against us? And I'm not suggesting that every little thing in the world that goes wrong is because of some demon. That's not the case at all. A lot of times our problems are our own making, our own fault. But nevertheless, there are times when the devil is out there trying to get a hold of you. And that's why the Word tells us we need to be aware. I want to just say that again. Be self-controlled and alert. In other words, be on guard. Have your mind and your eyes open, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And then in Ephesians 6:12, it gives us some more insight. And it says, for your struggle, and we all have struggles in our life, and it says, for your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So there are things going on that we don't see. There are demonic forces out there that are working against us. We have to remember who our real enemy is so that we're not lured into fighting one another all the time. Because that's one of the devil's favorite tactics too, is to get us to fight each other. We're supposed to be united together in love. And that was the last thing that Jesus prayed before he left this earth. And, Father, that they may be one as you and I are one. Lord, that they may be one in you and me. And he's always trying to build unity. What does the devil do? He's working overtime against that unity every day of our lives. He knows that we are stronger when we're together. I've seen demonstrations one time right here in this church. If you get 10 people standing up here and you lock arms together and you go and you try to push one guy down, because of all the other people that are holding on, it's going to be really hard to knock that one down. That's the unity. There's a strength in unity. And the devil knows that when we're united, when we're committed together, committed to one another, when we're loving one another, when we're serving one another, when we're for one another, he knows then that he's going to have a really hard time bringing, destroying this group of whatever, in this case, this church, or if it's a family, or if it's relationships. So what he does is he's constantly trying to divide us. Always trying to bring in contention and dissension and, all these different things, whether it's in the home or the church or anywhere else. At work, you'll find it. There's always people trying to stir up trouble, trying to get people after one another, always trying to egg people on and, cause problems between. I can't believe this guy's doing this. Why is he doing that? He's trying to, some people don't even understand it. They don't even realize they're actually working for the devil, in a sense, when they're stirring up all this trouble. And they sit back and they laugh. They love seeing people, at each other's throats. There's actually people that like to do that. I'm sure most of you have experienced it at one time or another. Too many times we get tricked into believing that the only thing that's real is what we can see. We forget that there's another whole world. There's this realm here. It says, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is this whole realm of spiritual beings. There are angels. In fact, there are twice as many angels as there are demons. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to get you all worried. God is so much stronger than every, just God himself is so much stronger than every demonic force that there ever could be or is. And there are, like I said, there are twice as many angels or demons, but we still need to be aware that there are demonic forces out there working against you. So, like I said, too many times we get tricked into believing that it's only what we see. And it's so easy for us to, we're so conditioned to just dismiss that kind of stuff as child's talk or, stories. And, they're always trying to get, the world system is always trying to get us to disbelieve the Bible, to disbelieve Christianity, to disbelieve in Jesus or even the devil himself. And the devil loves it when you don't believe in him, because then it gives him free reign. That would be like a thief who's trying to come into your house, and we say, I don't believe in thieves. There's no such thing as thieves. And the guy's in your house, and he's robbing you blind, and you're sitting there in your living room, and, honey, there's a guy in the other room. He's in our safe. He's taking all the money. He's taking the silverware. He's taking your computer. No, honey, I don't believe in thieves. That would be stupid, wouldn't it? Because we can see them. So that would be obvious. We would never do that. But we don't see the devil. We don't see his helpers. And so it is a lot easier to say, Pastor John likes to talk about that sometimes, and I think it's in the Bible somewhere, but, is it really real? Yeah, it's real. What we don't see and often don't think about is how our enemy is behind the scenes. He's back behind the scenes, and he's working overtime, and he's pulling strings, and he's plotting and planning, and he's trying to influence every area of our life. Every area of our life in a negative, destructive way. He's like the Wizard of Oz, and he's doing his magic, and he's saying, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. That's what he's like. I said, you spotted me. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. As he's over there doing this and pulling that and making all this kind of stuff happen, pretending like he's not there. Because he works best when people don't believe he's real. And it's hard to imagine the depth of hatred that he has for you. I mean, why would somebody hate me that much? You know, do you ever have somebody come against you and, you know, and they're trying to maybe do that thing, they're trying to cause a division, or they're just trying to, they're trying to tear you down, they're trying to get you fired, they're trying to make somebody hate you. You think like, why are they doing this to me? Why would they hate me so much? Well, the devil hates you more than anyone else that you could ever imagine. He's not a friendly guy. He acts like he is. He'll act like he's your best friend if you let him into your mind. But the reality is he hates you. He stands against everything that is good, everything that is of God. He's the exact opposite, the complete contrast to the God we love. He's diametrically opposed to everything that God stands for. God loves us, and Satan despises us. God is leading us into holiness and purity, and the devil, he wants to lead us into raunchiness and perversion. God speaks the truth to us, and Satan is the father of lies, and he's always lying to us. God leads us to quiet waters, and he gives rest to the weary, and the devil fills our heart with anxiety and fear and despair, hopelessness, discouragement. Those are his tools. God offers us eternal life, and Satan is trying to drag us down to eternal damnation. God brings us together in unity, and the devil is always trying to rip us apart through gossip and pride and envy and divisiveness and factions and all these different kind of things. Picture the difference. I was thinking about this between, you know, you get this nice, juicy steak, your favorite steak that's grilled on your grill, and you got just the right spices, and it's done to perfection. You know, and you're hungry, you're starved, and you're waiting, and somebody offers you that steak, or they say, or wait, I've got this other steak here, and it's a piece of cold, raw, old, smelly, maggot-infested meat. And they say, you can have this one too if you want. Which one would you rather have? Which one do you want? Of course, everybody wants the good steak, right? We don't want the pink slime steak over there. But unfortunately, the devil, what he does is he disguises the foul stuff so that it looks and smells and even tastes the same as the good stuff. And we don't recognize it, but then once we've eaten it, the poison starts to work in our system. And that's how the devil works. When he offers you stuff, what he offers you doesn't look evil. It doesn't look deadly. It doesn't look poisonous. It doesn't look like it's going to harm you. It looks like it's going to be fun and pleasurable. And then we start to take it in and take it in. And before we know it, we find we're falling apart. We find that we're being drawn away from God. We find that our life is becoming a disaster because we listened to our enemy. We got fooled by our enemy. Satan isn't just satisfied laying out his evil wares and hoping that maybe someone will come along and get some. He's a schemer. He's a plotter. He's a liar who knows exactly how you work. He knows how you function. And so he lays traps specifically designed to catch you. He is the ultimate con artist. He's ruthless. He's the kind of guy who would sneak into your bedroom at night and open up a bear trap, put it on the side of your bed, and then light a fire on the other side of the bed and then wake you and say, "Hey, fire!" Hoping you'll jump out of bed and he can watch you as your leg gets ripped off by a bear trap. That's the kind of guy he would be. He just loves to watch us get hurt. He loves to see us destroyed, and ultimately he wants to see us all burn. He never sleeps. He's always prowling around looking to see who he can devour, someone he can catch off guard. What are his goals? Well, he can never defeat God. Never. He has absolutely no chance. Remember, when it comes down to God and the devil, to God it's like his little finger just like that. But he is someone we need to deal with. So the next best thing in his mind, if he can't defeat God, he says, well, then I'll destroy those that God loves. You know, you ever see in those movies, tell us the information now or we're going to kill you. Go ahead, kill me. I don't care. We're going to cut off your hands. I don't care. Kill me. Go ahead, do what you want. The guy's all strong and he ain't going to do nothing to me. And he says, I'll kill your wife and I'll kill your child. Okay, what do you need to know? Right away, because, you know, and that's what the devil wants to do. He says, all right, I can't kill God. I'll kill those that he loves. I'll destroy those that he loves. I'll turn them into such a mess, God won't even love them. Of course, God does. He wants to destroy the plans that God has for our lives. He wants to stop us from building God's kingdom and somehow get between us and God. And remember, he's been around for thousands of years or longer. Who knows how long? But he knows all of our weaknesses. He knows the human condition. He knows humans inside and out. And so we need to be able to recognize his schemes and understand how he works so we can defeat him. So the first thing we need to remember is that, something I already mentioned, he is a liar. In fact, he is called the father of lies. In John 8:44, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and he says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, and there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when we start thinking about, okay, how does the devil work? What's his character? What's his nature? How's he going to come after me? The very first thing we need to remember is that he's a liar. He's the best liar in the world, bar none. There used to be a show called Lie to Me. You ever watch that? Maybe some of you watched that. And these guys could tell when somebody was lying. They had all these little ways they could tell if you were lying. Devil's good. They wouldn't catch him. He's a good liar. Just think of the advertising we see every day. How many times have we been fooled into buying something because Madison Avenue has declared that it will do this or do that or save that or hurt this or harm that or whatever. It tells you, it makes all these claims, and we go out and we buy that and it doesn't do what it says. Well, Satan puts Madison Avenue to shame. He can make the very things that he designed to destroy us, he can make them sound so good that we rush out to get hold of them. The very thing that could destroy us. That's how good of a liar he is. Look what he did to Adam and Eve. They had the best thing going for them in the world. Easy life, eternal, it could have been, you know, they could have lived there forever, they fellowship with God, everything, nothing, you know, really bad at all. Eat whatever they wanted except for that one tree. The liar comes in and tells them, that's the tree you need to eat from. Then you'll be like God. The only way we can be certain whether something is true or not is to make sure it lines up with the Word of God. That's the real truth. And if something stands against God's Word, we don't need it. We don't want it. We better watch out for it. Another thing we need to know, and I'm not going to get into these in depth right now, because I'm going to be looking at some of this stuff later on in more depth. I just wanted to give you sort of an overview of our enemy so that we know how to understand him so we can defeat him. Another thing that we need to know about our enemy is that he's a thief. He wants to steal from us whatever he can. Now, he's not looking to steal your wallet. Although, he might get fun out of that too. Just to see you running around, you know, where's my license? Where's my credit card, you know? He would probably love seeing you all distressed because of that. But we're not worried so much about him stealing something physical like that. In the parable of the sower, In Matthew 13:19, Jesus explains, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, or snatches away what was sown in their hearts. That's what the devil, he likes to steal the word of God from us. He wants to rob us not only of God's word, but God's peace. He wants to rob us of God's joy, the joy of our salvation. He wants to rob us of our friends, our family, our husbands, our wives, our children. He wants to rob us of our church. He wants to rob us of everything, every good gift that God has ever given us, because every good gift comes down from our Father above. The devil wants to rob those things. He wants to steal them from you. He wants your life to be miserable. God wants you to live a life of abundance. The devil wants you to live a life of disaster, poverty, destruction. And I'm not talking, you know, so much the financial, but could even be that too. But he likes to make you a pauper in the spiritual realm. Did you ever notice that sometimes we feel we've just been blessed tremendously by God, and you know, something great is happening, and no sooner do we recognize the blessing than something comes along to rob us of our joy. You know, and this great thing, something maybe we'd been praying for and working towards for a long time, and we finally, you know, we just, God, oh, thank you, God, thank you, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, there goes our rear end just got, you know, and our car just got hit, or, you know, something happened there, somebody close to us just got sick, or this happened, that. It's like we can't even enjoy that peace because the devil is always trying to come and rob and steal. He's a thief. The devil even tries to steal from God. You say, well, how can the devil steal from God? Well, he does. You know what he does? He steals God's people. He steals God's people. He comes in there and he convinces people to follow after him. People that should have or could have gone to God, a lot of them end up in hell. And so he's taking what should have belonged to God. He's a thief. He doesn't have to. We don't have to give into that. We don't have to give into that. And that's why we want to understand him. I don't want to be somebody who follows after the devil. And I know you don't want to be someone who gets tricked or deceived or by him. He's a thief in every way. He can't stand that we freely love and worship God. So he wants to steal that worship out of our hearts. Worship that we could have been given God. He hits us with something, so he takes our mind off of God. So he steals away the worship that we could have been given to God. He steals away our love and our good, you know, good feelings towards God. When he comes and he's actually caused people, you know, that have been followers of Christ, he sometimes confuses their minds and messes them up and turns them against God. Turns them against God's ways. That's why it's so important for us to know the truth of God, to get before God, to get close to God, to know him, to understand him, because the closer we are to God, the more we know God, the more we know his word, then we don't have to worry about this guy. We don't have to worry that he's going to take us away. We don't have to, because, I mean, he can't steal us, he can't do any of these things to us unless we let him. He doesn't have that kind of authority, doesn't have that kind of power, but we let him because he plays games with our minds. Because of his lies and his deceptions, we think, I can't stop him. I can't do this, just like with Rocky in the ring. I can't stop him. I can't stop him. I can't stop him. Yeah, we can. Another tactic of the enemy is to try to destroy us. He loves nothing more than to see ruined lives. Lives wasting away on drugs, on alcohol, on any vice, gambling, prostitution, whatever it might be. He loves to see lives that are just down in the gutter. He wants to take us away from God. He loves to destroy us. Every good thing that there is, his goal is, let's take it down. Boys, let's go get it. They're building something good over there. Let's go knock it down. He's like the bully, you know. Sees, you know, the bully sees you got somebody building something nice. He wants to go over and kick it in and knock it down and stand there and laugh at you. That's the kind of guy the devil is. We were created in the image of God, and he wants to destroy that image of God in us. He's always looking to destroy. He wants to destroy ministries. We've seen ministries destroyed all over the country, all over the world. He wants to destroy pastors. He wants to destroy families. He wants to destroy marriages. He wants to destroy churches and relationships. He loves to destroy reputations. He just doesn't stop. This is what he does. This is his character. We need to understand that this is the kind of guy we're dealing with. He's not some benevolent little, you know, old guy who gives you some nice things, you know, to try to trick you into saying, oh, you got my soul for the rest. He's out, I mean, well, he wants your soul too. He wants to take you, but he's not this nice little man, you know, that they sometimes portray. He's evil. He's evil. Sometimes he may disguise himself as an angel of light, as a good guy, but he's evil. Everything he does is bent on our destruction, bent on destroying us and God's plans. He's like that tornado that went through Davison the other night, you know, or Dexter. Yeah, Dexter. Dexter Davison, that's what I was thinking. Some Chevrolet dealer or something. So, yeah, he's just like that tornado. He goes around and he's just a path of destruction wherever he goes. Some people, just like the tornado, some places it totally misses. Right next door, someone is destroyed. He doesn't have to, we could be the house that's not even touched when we're in right with God, when we're in close with God. And we can help others. When we help them to get to know the Lord, we can help them prevent them from being destroyed. Jesus called him a murderer. You remember in John 8:44, Jesus called him a murderer. We just read it a minute ago. If you remember, he tried to stop God's plan by killing little baby Jesus. But he failed. Not only did he not kill Jesus, but the plan, his plans of stopping the Savior from coming into the world failed. He tried to stop God's plan by killing Jesus on the cross. Well, Jesus died on the cross, but little did the devil know that that was God's plan. And he was just used as a puppet to accomplish what needed to be done. And so the very thing that he thought he did to defeat God actually was his own destruction. He tried to stop God's plans by killing the Christians in Jerusalem. So they got spread out all over the earth. And next thing you know, Christianity was everywhere. Even today, the devil is still trying to murder people all over the world. You hear about it now constantly. I've never seen so many different countries as there are right now where Christians are on the run. He's a murderer. He wants us to sacrifice our children on the altar of selfishness or convenience. Just like Molech in the old days, or Baal, or all those things, or in the Incas and different places like that. I mean, they would find all these babies' skeletons, babies' skulls. They would sacrifice their babies. And so we're not like, you know, we're so civilized now, we're not like those ancient peoples that would build these big towers and throw our babies down into these pits of fire. No, we go into a new sterile doctor's office and lay on a table and suck the baby out with a vacuum. Clean and antiseptic. It's just a piece of flesh. That's what they would have you believe. Places like Planned Parenthood. I'm happy to report that, I don't know how many of you know this, but I just read an article yesterday, if you know that Walk for the whatever it is, that Susan Komen Foundation, Planned Parenthood. They give money to Planned Parenthood, and they were saying they don't understand why, but their latest big run in Texas is down 50% from last year. You know why it's down? Because people found out that they're a big supporter of Planned Parenthood. So, you know, there's so many things going on, and in our country, we establish laws to protect these things. That these perversions of the devil that are destroying people. They're tactics of the enemy used to destroy people. And we codify them, or we make them good by making them a law. Supposedly, we make them good because, oh, now it's okay. It's legal. That doesn't change God's word. Murder is still murder. Perversion is still perversion. Those things, we have to stand against them. You know, we have to speak out the truth. You know, it could feel uncomfortable. I'm sorry, it's the truth, and I'd be glad to share with you more in detail. It's just, that's the way it is. That's the reality. And I have to speak the truth about that, and you know, so we need to be aware of these schemes. That's how we beat them. And we can do this. We can beat the devil. Every one of us in here, we can beat him. Because with God, all things are possible. Remember what Jesus said in Luke, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." That's a pretty powerful statement, I would say, wouldn't you? I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and he's not going to harm you. You see, if we stand on the Word of God, if we stand with Christ, if we are in Christ, the devil cannot harm you. It's when we get off track and we start listening to the lies. It's when we start being diverted, you know, getting off on the rabbit trails and start going after things that are not of God, that's when we get hurt. We can defeat our enemy. We just have to use the resources that God has given us. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." What are we talking about here? What we're talking about, what it really boils down to in a nutshell, is God's truth. In whatever form it might be, by using His Word, knowing His Word, studying the Word, by prayer, worship, all the things that are part of this truth relationship with God, these become our weapons against the tactics of the devil. And we have to somehow put God's truth up against the lies and the deceptions of the enemy. This is how we win. This is how we fight. Remember, the greatest battleground is right up here in our mind. This is where it all starts. All the time. And the lies, the temptations, the accusations. This is where Rocky lost that fight. "I can't stop him. I can't do it." He kept thinking in his mind, "The game's over. The fight's over. I've already lost." He may as well just jumped out of the ring. And if you remember, this is where it changed in the next round or the next fight. Again, just referring back to Eddie's message last week, where then he went in there, and that time he knew he was going to win. He knew that he was in that fight to win, and he did. Nothing was going to stop him that time. Same opponent, and it's the same with us. We're fighting the devil. Maybe you were a little bit off track, and the devil got you. Maybe he knocked you down. Maybe he caused you to fall into sin, and the tempter, you know, got you, and then he accused you, and then he lied to you, and maybe he did all these things and he got you. But now you got to get your mind back. You got to get your mind right. You get back into God's Word, you get back into God's truth, and you stand up again. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and when you have done everything, to stand." And one final gift that God has given us to help us to be overcomers against our enemy, probably the best thing that we got going for us, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The one who will lead us into all truth. And so if we're led by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, He's also called, how can the lies then get hold of us? And that's where the devil's power really starts, with his lies right up here. And if we have this bulwark, this gate, this wall, this fortress, this stronghold, you know, that stands against the lies, and it's the truth of God and the Holy Spirit bringing that truth right into our conscience, right into our heart, always reminding us of the truth, always leading us into truth. In fact, it says that He will remind us of all that Jesus said. If we're walking in that kind of power, the devil has no chance against us. And God will fill us with His Holy Spirit. That's a gift that He is just waiting to give. And it's a gift that just keeps on giving, because He continually fills us with His Holy Spirit. Not just one time, but over and over and over. It's like a continual replenishing. So we need to remember that we are facing a formidable foe in the devil. But God has given us everything that we need to fight this good fight and win. Through Him, we can overcome evil with good. We can overcome all the plans and the schemes and the attacks of the enemy. Through Him, we can defeat our enemy. Jesus is building His church, and the gates of hell will not be able to stop it. That's what God's Word says. And you know, it says He's building His church, and the gates cannot stop it. Well, guess what? We're the church. That means that the gates of hell cannot stop you. Think about that. The gates of hell cannot stop you because you are the church. The devil cannot destroy you if you are in Christ. He does not have power over you. He does not have authority over you. The only time He has authority or power over you is when we let it go up here and we say, "Oh, I can't fight this. I can't do it. I can't make..." Yes, you can. You can fight Him. You can, you know, defeat Him. You can obliterate Him, deny Him, defeat Him, destroy Him. I mean, well, not destroy Him completely. That's saved for the last day, but we can knock Him down, knock Him out of our life. God has put all the power in us that we need to win the battle. Last scripture, Ephesians 3:20. "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine," that's God, "according to His power that is at work within us." I love that scripture. To God, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more. He could do anything. Anything that we could ask for, anything that we could imagine, and even more than we could ever imagine. And He can do that through His power, because of His power, and is saying that that same power is at work in us. So think about that. If that's the power that's at work in us, does the devil have authority over us? Does he? Does anybody in here feel like the devil's, he owns you? He doesn't own you. Sometimes we might get this feeling like, "I can't fight him." Well, we need to get our mind back right. That's what this message is about. I want you to understand, because when we understand our enemy, we can defeat him. When we understand the roles in this battle, that, yeah, he's a formidable foe, but he's nothing compared to our God. And our God, his power is inside of me. And if that power is inside of me, that means the devil has no power over me. That means when we go along about our day and the devil tries to stop us, get out of my way. When we're operating in God's plan, when we're being led by the Spirit of God, the devil is no more than a nuisance. That's how we need to look at it. We don't need to be afraid of him. So if I could have the prayer team come forward. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the other day I was watching Bruce Lee. It was like a documentary on Bruce Lee, the old kung fu guy. Used to be Kato and the Green Hornet when we were kids, a lot of years ago. And one of his close friends was talking about every time he would walk in on Bruce Lee, he'd be watching film on Muhammad Ali. Remember the fighter? You know, the great Muhammad Ali. And he said Bruce Lee would be watching this film, and he would be watching it, and he would be playing it backwards. And he never said anything to him. And he, you know, so his manager come in and out, but it was like every time Bruce Lee had spare time, he was in a trailer out on the set, he'd go in his trailer, and he'd watch these Muhammad Ali films. And he'd watch them backwards. Finally, one day, he said, I got to ask him why he's watching these films backwards. He says, so Bruce, why are you watching these films backwards? And he looked him dead in the eye and says, one day I'm going to fight this man. And I want to know every move of his, forwards and backwards. And I was just thinking what you said, you know, about the enemy. You got to know. You got to know his tactics. You got to know, like you were saying today, you know, he's a murderer. He's a liar. He's a thief. And he's out to steal, to rob and destroy. And just like Bruce Lee, you know, we need to get in the Word because that's where it's revealed to us, his tactics. But I was just thinking of that, you know, Bruce Lee sitting there, how he was, he said he was studying intently, and every move he was, you know, kind of making a movement like I'd block it this way or do this, or I'd give him a kick and ward him off. And that's the way we got to prepare ourselves for when we're under attack. That we're going to know every one of his moves, and when he throws a punch, boom, we're blocking. When he throws a kick, we're blocking. And so many of us, you know, we don't care. But he understood, and he told that guy, he says, one day I'm going to be in a fight with that guy. Well, we're going to be in a fight with the devil at some point. Amen. And we better
know how
he's going to attack. Very good.
Amen. All righty. Well, let's close in prayer. And we have prayer up here for you for whatever you may want. Anything that's going on that you need prayer about. It can be about what's going on today, what we talked about, or anything else. So let's go before the Lord. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this day. And we thank you for your word, for your truth, Lord God. We thank you for all things, Lord. And I pray your blessing upon your people here, Lord. And I pray that our eyes would be opened to the tricks and the traps and the schemes and the plots of our enemy, Lord God. That every one of us and everyone who hears this message, Lord God, would be well aware of what he is doing, Lord God. And that we would take our stand against the devil's schemes. And after everything is done, we would stand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.